hard work doesn't need to equal grind. It doesn't need to equal, oh my gosh, I'm so busy, 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 busy. Some of the hardest work we can do is to stop and think and to have white space.
Welcome to Elite Achievement, the podcast for high-performing business owners and leaders. I'm Kristen Burke, your coach and host. Together, we'll unpack the stories, mindsets, and habits of top achievers and explore how to turn ambition into remarkable results. If you're ready to maximize your potential and elevate your success, let's make it happen. I often coach the kind of high-performing leaders you hear from on this podcast. So before we dive into today's episode, I want to share a quick look at how I support them. I work with clients who are navigating growth, stepping into bigger roles, or realizing they've outgrown the way they've always done things. They often have a clear and ambitious vision, but need a trusted thought partner to ask the tough questions, create space to think deeply, and help them follow through on what matters most. If this sounds like the kind of partnership you've been craving, email me at meet@kristenburke.com to learn more and connect. You'll also find details in the show notes. Now, let's get into today's conversation. What does achieving elite success mean to you personally and professionally? I like asking guests this question to start our conversation because our answers are so personal. There's not just one way to achieve elite success. And this question invites each guest to define it on their own terms. And that's exactly what today's conversation is all about. My guest, Heidi Hoyam, is the founder of Ironworks Consulting. With more than two decades in financial services, she's helped over 130 advisory firms grow with clarity and build businesses that don't rely on any one individual. Like many high achievers, Heidi built a thriving business only to realize several years in that success had started to feel like another version of the grind. What makes Heidi's story so powerful isn't just that she made a change, it's how she did it. She reflected, experimented slowly, and had the courage to move forward even without knowing exactly how it would all unfold. From creating white space to redefining hard work, she found a new way forward, one that aligned with her values and her vision. In this episode, we talk about doing more with less, building a personal growth team, and making space to think. Because sometimes the hardest work isn't pushing harder, it's stepping back to think differently. This conversation is for anyone who's secretly wrestling with the trap of external achievement, the weight of staying in grind mode, and the desire to do it differently without losing their edge. Welcome, Heidi.
Thank you, Kristen. It's fun to be here. I am pushed out of my comfort zone for this, but for you, here I am. I'm doing it.
Well, I know once we get into the conversation, our audience is going to learn a ton from you. And I'm so thrilled that you said yes and decided to jump outside of your comfort zone. So thanks for doing that.
And thanks for the push. I love it.
Well, let's start by exploring elite success. So when you think about elite success, Heidi, what does that mean to you personally and professionally?
Yeah, I mean, I think overall, in my entire career, it's always really been about how do you do more with less? And that has just continued to be amplified as I've progressed in my career. And the definition of that has continued to grow. But if I look at the underpinnings of what I've always sought after, I do think it's how do I do more with less? How do I do a little bit differently? And then especially in the entrepreneurial journey, you know, you and I have chatted about this, that you build something and you hope for this freedom and flexibility and you kind of get yourself into just another grind. Mm-hmm. So, you know, for me, it's the ROI of freedom, flexibility without sacrificing growth at the same time. And then I think just in life, it's about relationships. So just really understanding that life is about how you make people feel on the journey. It's so much less about what you accomplish. And as, I don't know if you're familiar with the Enneagram, but I am a solid Enneagram 3 driver, achiever. So you are too. I love it.
Yeah, me too.
Sometimes you have to check that, right? And it's been for me, I would say elite success is about how do I harness that superpower to serve relationships in my life.
Now, that's such an interesting perspective because I completely relate Enneagram 3 inside and out, you know, driver, achiever. But I don't think I've stopped to pause to think about how that can serve relationships. Have you always thought that way? Or was there a pivotal point in your journey where you're like, whoa, I need to maybe stop striving so much, you know, professionally and start focusing on the personal?
Yeah, I think when I started Ironworks, there was an element of the relationship and how do I have impact? And we've always kind of had this, what's the biggest boulder we can drop that would create ripples? So there's an element always that's been about relationship, but there has been a lot of pausing and reflecting to go, am I doing this to strive to achieve something that's external? Or am I present? Am I serving the people that are in my sphere most effectively with the gifts that I've been given?
Yeah. I think that's really important, that reflection. I love that question. Am I doing this to achieve something that is external? So a really powerful question to get us all to pause and think, what's the motive behind what we're doing?
Yeah. And you know, one of the things that I've done, I'm sure many people have heard of, I think it's Stephen Covey who encourages you to do the funeral exercise. Have you heard of the funeral exercise?
Is this where you write your eulogy?
Yeah, where okay. You just imagine that it is your funeral and you're thinking about what is it that you want people, both personally and professionally, to say about you at the end. And I think it really gets you to pause and think about, like, how am I really showing up in my world? And is that consistent with what I would want people to say? So I've actually done that several times and then turned that into a personal mission statement. So when I get away with myself and I'm reflecting on what matters most and how am I showing up, both in business and in life, I'm looking at that as kind of the litmus test.
Yeah, that's fantastic. So really thinking ahead, a little bit, you know, morbid or sad to think about your own funeral, but powerful, right? And another tool to help us build the vision to create the life in the business that we want. So
absolutely.
Take us back. You had mentioned, you know, when you started Ironworks. So when you started Ironworks, you know, what was it that you were focused on? And then what was that moment where you realized, wow, I'm building something that is another grind? And what did you do about it?
Yeah, so when I started, it was really just born out of how do I do something that capitalizes on the gifts I've been given and not just fold into somebody else's dream, but be willing to step out and harness my own dream, which I didn't really realize that I had, to be honest. It was an interesting evolution of that realization. But when I first started, it was simply about doing what I was good at and doing it for other people, yet for the benefit of a business that I was building. I think it was probably, you know, seven-ish years in, you realize, wow, I've been seeing 5, 6, 7, 8 people a day, every day of the week for 7 years. And pause moment again to say, is this what I wanted to create? Or is this just another achieving moment? Mm-hmm. And how do I want to reimagine that potentially? And so it went back to just that reflection of what am I building? Who am I being? And what does the future of this look like? And part of that too was thinking about, is this what I want for the next 20 years?
Mm. Yeah.
And I'm guessing the answer to that was no.
It's that's really what I was thinking.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. So when you realized the answer was no, I'm sure it was a scary moment for you because you're used to seeing a high volume of people every day. It's what you built. How did you grow the courage to make changes?
Well, you know, one of the things, I became a certified coach before I started Ironworks. And I remember the first program I got certified through, I had asked the leader who created that program. I had said, great, we got certified. How do you develop these skills further? How do you continue to become a better coach? And he said something that I always take with, and I have like really lived by this. He said, you become a better coach by being coached yourself. And so from the moment that I started Ironworks, I have always had coaches or coaching in some way, shape, or form. So part of that pivot when I realized that was evaluating what coaching am I participating in? And is it supporting me shifting my mindset and really kind of crashing through and busting through some paradigms that I had based on the world that I grew up in? I needed to think about it just completely differently.
Mm. Was there a moment in your reflection or a sign that it was very clear this isn't working for you?
Yes and no. So, the no part was you know, I think some of this was more about what opportunity are we not taking advantage of? What are we not tapping into that we're capable of? So there was definitely a potential component to this. But there's also the yes part of that question is, you know, there's the burnout. We hit 2020, we hit COVID. I actually got COVID in January of 2021 and then struggled with long COVID still to this day. So we started this journey of reimagining what this could look like before, but that really just hit it home that I want to build something that is not dependent on me. Because there was a period of time where I could not show up for my clients in the way that I wanted to. And I was very grateful that we had made the progress we had made. And I have my right-hand person who she was able to step in, who you know her well. She's amazing. And I'm so grateful for her. But that still, even at that, isn't enough. If her schedule's packed and my schedule's packed, she can't just take all my meetings, all my volume. So it really just emphasized the need to reimagine what I was building.
Mm. And you did that through looking at the coaches you were working with, the coaching support you were getting. You made some changes with that. You said you broke through some paradigm shifts. Do you remember once you made that decision that we need to reimagine, what were some of the first changes you implemented in the business?
You know, it was a slow process. I am not a natural risk taker. So I would say we started to experiment slowly. So we kind of had one foot in the old and one foot in the new, and just started to try some different things that I was being challenged with through some coaching and perspective of other people who I feel are innovators in our space. And so, number one, it was just about the willingness to step out in faith and go, all right, we're going to try something new. Number two, you know, I think my team would tell you that I've always been pretty strong at casting a vision, and it was about me getting clear enough about where are we going and why are we going there that I got my team to blindly jump into it with me. And they definitely, when we look back on it, we kind of laugh because they're like, we just kind of followed you step by step because I was figuring it out. So we very much together flew the plane while we built it while we were flying it.
Sure.
But I think one, you know, I think you said mindset. I feel like one of the biggest things, and I think especially as that Enneagram 3, realizing that a packed schedule isn't necessarily your highest and best use, and redefining what quote unquote hard work is. You know, I heard something actually just the other day, because this is a continuous thing that I'm exercising for myself, is hard work doesn't need to equal grind. It doesn't need to equal, oh my gosh, I'm so busy, 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 busy. Some of the hardest work we can do is to stop and think and to have white space, especially for those of us who are achievers. It feels like you're not quote unquote doing anything. But the reality is that is the thing that will propel the rest of the work forward.
Yeah. And that's a scary change to make when probably most of your professional career almost been rewarded for that grind or that hard work or doing more. And I'm sure it fulfills a big part of you as the Enneagram 3. But that realization that some of the hardest work is to stop and think, did you learn that through coaching? Did you learn that through reflection? Like, how did you get to that point where you're like, whoa, I need more white space?
Yeah, I think through coaching, certainly, and seeing, you know, I'm a pretty big believer that I don't want to follow the trends. I want to follow the innovators. And so when you're following innovators, they're thinking about things that are just not what you're surrounded with the rest of the time. So getting challenged by peers and people in groups that I was in, and hearing the flexibility and the white space and what that did for them was motivational to me. And even once I figured out that I wanted it, though, actually making it happen was a completely different story. And releasing the almost guilt, if you will, when you're used to being rewarded for being busy, it's hard to step into your value, if that makes sense, when you don't feel like that you can say that.
Yeah. How did you decide what to keep and what to let go of and what to do differently once you came to this conclusion that you needed to reimagine, you had the vision, team was bought in? How'd you decide what to keep, what to let go of?
It really started with boundaries, I would say. You know, I historically overpacked schedule, overcommitted, said yes to everything, like I'm sure so many of us do. So it was really about going back to what are my right yeses. But I wasn't really forced to do that until I put constraints on my calendar and on my time. So we continue to just get ruthless with what are the boundaries, what exceptions are we willing to make, and what are we not? And what that left us with was a limited amount of space so that it can find our yeses. What are the right things?
Yeah, it makes sense. And when you made this change, though, did it impact your revenue in a negative way at the start? And if it did, how were you okay with that?
I was prepared for that going in. I do think because we kind of kept one foot in the past and one foot in the future, it allowed us to have some really sustainable still years through those changes. I think we just celebrated our 12-year birthday, and we've only had 1 year where we did not have our best year ever. And that was only by a couple percentage points. So we were able to keep the ship pretty steady through that. But I think there was part of the reason why that was successful is because I was okay with it not being. I was okay jumping into it and going, if we go backwards, we go backwards. But we're just going to dive in, focus on the process, focus on the effort that we're going to put in. And then what comes of that is what is meant to come from that.
Yeah, it sounds like your mindset was such a huge part in being able to make this shift. Do you remember, was there something specific that helped you change your mindset or shift all these paradigms? Was it a journey? Because I'm sure there's a lot of business owners listening that are like, okay, yes, I want this. I'm sick of the grind. I want to think differently. But like, how did you actually get to a place where you changed your mindset?
That's a great question. I think the real answer is very slowly over time. There wasn't some big moment that, oh, my mindset is different. It was a commitment to a vision that I had cast. And even today, we challenge our own vision. We always say, I want to do for ourselves and our business what we tell other people to do. And part of that is reflecting on your vision and going, do I still believe that this is the best path forward? And every time you ask that question, and you answer it for yourself, you get reconvicted in why you're doing what you're doing. And then you start to look at, well, what are the things that actually get in the way of that happening? And for most of us, mindset is a huge part of that. It's our limiting beliefs. It's the paradigms. It's all of those things that the trash between your ears, right, is the biggest thing that holds us back. And it still holds me back. I'm still working through that. Like I said, it's, again, Enneagram 3 and Achiever, it's a rewiring to be okay in that space and to settle into the discomfort of it.
Yeah. And that's not a fun place for all of us achievers to be.
No. And especially after, you know, 12 years in my business, over 20 in the industry, doing kind of what I've done, there's a little bit of like, why do I have to be uncomfortable at this point? I should just do what's comfortable. But I also know about myself and part of my own personal mission. I'm sure the people listening, if they're listening to something called Elite Achievement, they are achievers.
Right.
We're not satisfied with the status quo. So that was part of the, you know, the change agent too, is I could continue to do what I'm doing and be successful, but would I be fulfilled and challenged and, you know, just driven by that? No, I get bored. I would get bored with it.
And it sounds like, too, a big part of this change, Heidi, was your vision. And I know casting a vision can be very difficult for a lot of achievers, business owners. What were some of the things you did to get crystal clear on that vision?
Yeah, I mean, I've talked about reflection. I think getting away with yourself, we talk to our clients about this all the time, and I'm sure that they get sick of me talking about it, but it is the single most important thing I feel like you can do as a business owner is take time away and actually just let your brain go and really just dream and get into your creative flow state. So every single quarter, since I can't even remember, actually, it started with Strategic Coach. One of my early on coaching programs was Strategic Coach. Highly recommend. Was one of the first places where my mindset from the industry I grew up in was just shifted a little bit. But from that, it got me in a habit of getting away every single quarter and having a wide open agenda. I'm a left brain type A girl, so I prefer to have a to-do list and a structure to things. But that was my challenge, to say there is no structure to this. There's a couple categories and a couple questions to prompt my thinking. But outside of that, I put myself in an environment where there's nothing else to do but wait through the discomfort of not having anything to do and allow the thoughts to start to come, the reflection to start to come. And when you take that space, it's shocking how by the end you do have a really clear vision. You do have a really clear why. Mm-hmm. And usually you start to get to, what do I need to do to get there?
Yeah. We just have to give ourselves that time in the space to let it come out, which doesn't happen in between the hustle, the grind, all the client meetings. It's we get away and truly, like you said, get comfortable with that discomfort.
Yeah. You know, we talk a lot about setting up our environment, and where you physically are and the time that you take, I think matters so much for this, because when we're sitting in our normal environment, subconsciously, we want to go into our to-do mode. We want to check our email. We want to check the to-do list. We want to check something off. And so putting yourself in an environment where I actually, even if it's locally, I'll go check into a hotel by myself so that I have nowhere to go. Mm-hmm. Nowhere to be, no one to answer to. And it forces me into that space. And I think that so often we think we can, like you said, we think we can fit it in amongst other things. And I'll hear people say, oh, I'll take an hour of think time between these meetings. It takes longer than that for our brain to shift out of that executive functioning and into your flow state.
And you mentioned too, when you go into doing this visioning, you don't have a structure. You might have a couple categories, but are you updating the vision every quarter? Are you going back and reconnecting with your vision and seeing, hey, is this still true? Am I still going in the right direction?
Checking in more so than anything. If there are things that feel like they have fundamentally shifted about the direction I feel like we're going, I would reimagine it and retool it. But generally speaking, you know, we're casting a vision far enough out that I always say, you know, you want your vision to be directionally correct. It's never going to be exactly what it is, but it's just meant to orient us in the right direction. And so because we're casting further out than next quarter or the end of even this year, we're looking at 3, 5, and 10 years out. Mm-hmm. We are directionally correct, but it allows me to look at, you know, what are the things that get in the way of that and reconnect to it, like you said. And that goes for personal too. I actually start on the personal side because I believe that who we are is what flows then into our business.
Yeah. I have found too, drafting a personal vision seems to be a little bit easier. It's kind of fun to think about how you're spending your time and who you're spending time with and, you know, where you're living, all the personal things. But then it for me becomes more challenging to think about the business vision.
Yeah, that can definitely be true. And it's more complex and you have less control, generally speaking. So it can be hard to imagine that.
For sure. Okay. So what advice would you share with a business owner or a leader who's feeling successful on the outside, but stuck or stretched too thin on the inside?
I mean, I hate to keep coming back to this, but get away with yourself. Understand why that is in the first place, where it's coming from. And start to look at, is that really what matters to me?
Yeah.
And if it's not that, then what is it? And how do I start to reorient everything that I'm doing to the thing that actually matters?
Yeah. And that's that big question is just, how do we reorient ourselves to that thing that matters? And it sounds like from your story, it was the reflection, the visioning, the coaching, the mindset work. And so it wasn't just one moment or one thing that you did.
No, yeah, it's definitely about the journey, and it's about a commitment to the journey, because I didn't just go envision it once. I did it every 3 months, and we talked about it as a team every month and 3 months. And I surrounded myself with a growth team. I just heard this title the other day and I love it. I'm going to start to use it, your personal growth team. And I've really always had that, but I've never labeled it. And I love it so much. So it's always evaluating who's on my growth team right now. And is that team supporting the shifts and direction that I want to take all of this? And so it's, you know, there's the vision we've talked quite a bit about. In that moment, you're really deciding what and why. Mm-hmm. But then there's the how, which I know so many people want to get to. And the how is surround yourself with the right people, surround yourself with the right ideas. So many of the people that we work with, you know, they have these desires, but then if I ask you, what are you listening to right now? What are you reading right now? The things that they're absorbing and immersing themselves with, they're not consistent with the actual changes they need to make. Mm. So it's challenging yourself to infuse different messages into your brain.
Okay, tell us more about this personal growth team. Like, who is on your team? How'd you build this team?
Yeah, so right now I have a coach by the name of James Kemp, and he very much helps with how do you have a coaching and consulting business that's just, that emphasizes life over the scoreboard, if that makes sense. So I just really resonate. I think he probably works 2 days a week.
Wow.
And he has built and sold and built again several multi-million dollar businesses. So the people that then he attracts into the community that I get to then be a part of are people that are doing things that are just beyond what I would have thought of on my own. So it really challenges me to think about things differently. And when it feels easy to revert back to what's just normal, I'm challenged by that. I have a personal coach that coaches just both me and my team, like a traditional coach that just works through and helps us think out loud and make sure that we're on the same page. So we do that. And then lastly, I have a personal counselor, therapist, whatever you want to call them, so that I have the space, especially as an entrepreneur. There's just, you need space to process things out loud and to sort through it so that you can move forward most productively.
You know, I've really started to use ChatGPT to help me process. Yes. I know it sounds so crazy.
I actually, we call her Chatty, but yes. I use her too.
I know. Yeah. It's been really great. Just walking around and chatting into Chatty, and you get, it's of course not perfect, but at least it feels like you're having dialogue with someone who can help you process.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. And that's, I mean, always just thinking through, that's so, it's, I love that you brought that up, because I'm always thinking about how could technology help serve this better? How can we leverage technology? So I love that.
Yeah, I swear there's going to be one day where I face plant because I'm out walking, and that's where I typically get a lot of my best thinking done, and I'll just be talking into my phone. And one of these days there's going to be a crack in the sidewalk, and I might have to change that habit and that routine for sure.
I love it.
Well, it sounds like there have been some very consistent themes in our conversation today. The power of visioning, reflecting, pausing, who you surround yourself with. These all are going to help us really get clear on what it is that we want, what it is we want to build, and then ultimately what needs to change. And Heidi, it sounds like you not only figured all of that out, but you leaned into the hard work around what needs to change. And so I'm curious, are there any habits or routines that have been most critical in your journey to elite achievement?
Yeah, I talked about the quarterly getaways. Those are definitely kind of the cornerstone. And then as the work of reinventing has gotten harder, and as the requirement for me to think differently has gotten higher, it's shortening that time frame and allowing myself that space in shorter sprints. So as of this year, Mondays are the white space day. If we make exceptions to it, it's very strategic exceptions. So I have now a whole day where it's reading, it's listening, it's absorbing content, it's thinking about the problems that I uniquely need to solve for my organization. And so that's definitely part of it. Yeah, I think that's a huge shift for me.
Yeah. And you don't work Fridays in your business.
We do not. That was a dream from early on, was to have a 4-day work week. And prior to joining the James Kemp program, I was in a program called Black Belt. And that was actually pivotal to us reimagining just how we delivered our services. And I remember a woman that I really looked up to in that program. She talked about how she wanted that for herself. And she had this realization that if her mission was to serve the people that were in her world, one of the biggest ways she could do that was to give that same gift to her team. And so I was like, all right, yes, this is not about me.
Yes.
This is about what would it do for my team and the people that they influence if I give them that same gift of a 4-day work week. So We've been doing that for a couple of years now. It started as an experiment. Let's just try it, see if it works. And it's been amazing. I think my team would echo that, that they really, really enjoy having that extra space to get the things done for their family so that on the weekends, they can really just be present and do things for their community, for their families. So it's been really cool.
That's really neat. Well, I think that it's so inspiring to hear a lot about the changes that you've made, the boundaries you've put in place, getting clear on what you're saying yes to, scheduling these getaways with yourself that has helped you build an organization that you sound like you're extremely excited and passionate about today.
I really am. I feel like we're just now scratching the surface of what's possible because it's taken a couple of years to really make these changes what we wanted them to be, and that experimenting back and forth and finding the right mix for us. So it feels like we're at a point where we're kind of at that knee of the hockey stick. Like, the world is our oyster. I know we can accomplish so much, and we have the right ingredients in place to be able to do it without sacrificing freedom and flexibility, which is what I shied away from sometimes with growth before, because it felt like it would require more grind from me.
Yeah. Well, I think that's going to resonate with a lot of our listeners. So I appreciate you sharing your journey with us today. Thanks so much for your time.
Oh, thanks for having me, Kristen. I appreciate it.
Until next time, elite achievers, celebrate your wins, reflect on your lessons, and consistently show up with the mindset and habits that will elevate your success. Remember, progress is made one step at a time. By listening to today's episode, you've taken an important step toward achieving remarkable results. If you're ready to continue your journey, visit my website, kristenburke.com, for resources, tools, and strategies designed to help you experience elite achievement. Subscribe now so you never miss an episode, and let's keep embracing the mindset, effort, and values that drive consistent elite performance. Thank you for listening.